Hello and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 323. This is your host, Kevin. On the other end is Chris. How are you doing, sir?
I'm really good today, Kevin. How about yourself?
As I didn't really want to get into in the barely moment that we didn't talk before the show started here, I have been going down memory lane. The Penguins are playing tonight in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, and I went to many minor league hockey game there after I turned 16 and was able to drive the sometimes dangerous 45 minutes from Altoona to Johnstown, especially in the middle of winter. So yeah, it's been kind of fun because the one thing I remember the most was, it was on my birthday when I turned 17, I went up to see a game with my girlfriend and two of my good friends, and, he bought, a Los Angeles Kings hat that he wore for years after that. And I got a ticket on the way back because I turned from a left-hand lane onto a turn lane. So I got a ticket for that. That was my first official ticket as a driver. So I ended up having to sell various sports paraphernalia at the convention that weekend. This is back in the day when card conventions were on the regular, no matter how large and or small your town was. And right. Yeah, it was one of my best selling days that I ever had, but all of the money that I made pretty much went to paying off the ticket. It was very disappointing to, and it's just like, oh man, maybe that means I'll have more weekends like this, and I didn't have more weekends like that. I mean, I guess I can consider it good luck that the one weekend I really needed the money, it came in.
Right.
But yeah, it's that is one amongst many memories at the War Memorial. So it's pretty fun watching them play an NHL game there. I wasn't really gonna pay that much attention to it, but I'll tell you what, I turned it on, and I'm just gonna have it on the rest of the evening here until we get finished.
Gotcha. That is.
So yeah.
So why are they playing an NHL game at the War Memorial?
I guess they're having this contest called Hockeyville USA, and I don't know if Johnstown's the only location, but I guess they're playing a bunch of NHL games in minor league towns, is what it seems like they were saying. Like, this isn't just a one city thing.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I think that's pretty cool if that's what they're doing. Or even if they change the city each year that they end up doing this, that's still pretty cool in and of itself.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah, that's pretty fun. Even though the game really doesn't amount to a hill of beans, since not everyone is out there per any regular season type of affair.
Gotcha.
Anyway, we also, aside from sports talk and memory lane, we do have some opinions about the Raw, because I will admit that I did not have time this weekend for SmackDown. I think I watched everything but the main event, actually. Before Monday Night Raw came on, so I just erased it.
I've got Thursday nights are, you know, for problems, but my Thursday nights are still packed. And of course, while two at a time, I'm DVR, so SmackDown's getting the boot.
Yeah, it's very easy to pass up. And yeah, Raw still not as easy to pass up. I was in some ways, I guess, after looking at the review, shocked at the level of anger that Jeremy had towards this episode of Raw.
Confession time for me. I did not jump in until 9 o'clock at night. Until 9 o'clock, I skipped through a lot. I did not want to watch Big Show versus Mark Henry. I did not watch Harper and Strowman against the primetime players. And there's probably a few other things I skipped. I did not watch the verbiage in the women's segment. I'm a horrible analyst right now, but I just didn't have time for this. For such things. And I could have just guessed that they were going to be bad and talked about them anyway, like I actually watched them, but I'm deciding to be honest here.
Yeah, you know, it was one of those things that I didn't think about it, just because I was trying to just get done with the show. But there were a number of times where they just had a lot of video packages this week. And not that they don't have their fair share from week to week, but I thought that they were a little excessive this week. And I buzzed through a couple of those and helped me. I mean, I started very late, like 9:30 late or something like that. From the beginning. And I kind of zipped right through it. So yeah, like I kind of look back and some of those segments, like they gave that time to a whole lot of Kane and a whole lot of Ashley.
Yeah, the internet's new the new woman crush one day, Ashley. But yeah, but oh man, I was enjoying Kane so much. I do agree with you. They went to this too. I know they have a match at my Helen stuff. I tell them stuff. I think they went to it too early to see the full turn from Kane. There was more life in this, because if this thing doesn't have, this storyline doesn't have humor. It has no legs.
Yeah, I mean, they can still try and come back, but I don't know how you do at this point.
Yeah.
Because Kane had his Superman moment and came out of the ambulance dressed.
Jolly Kane has just been so entertaining. It's a shame to lose it, because it's just
yeah.
God, he's just Kane, just, you know, 45-year-old, you know, Kane in a mask doing the same thing gimmick he's been doing for 20 years.
Yeah, I mean, he knows how to keep himself fresh, so it would be nice if they somehow try to come back with this next week, but they really kind of opened up Pandora's box.
I don't see how he can go back to being the you know, his other personality now. I think that, you know, this whole thing is, the demon has been awoken for good this time. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they can save it. But like 3 weeks of Kane and Rollins buildup. With Rollins running away from the Dean. It's just not what I want to see.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be the best thing. That's for sure. And I guess I didn't realize when Jeremy brought that point up, I hadn't realized how much time they had left until the pay-per-view. Just because I feel like maybe I just have shell shock from how quick some of them come. But I felt like another one was just around the bend, so I'm like, oh, okay, whatever, they pulled the trigger, and now I'm like, oh, damn. Like you said, another 3 weeks, like, they really could have pulled that thing out longer.
Yeah, they absolutely could have. I mean, this show already has a blockbuster main event. They didn't need to even announce that they raped each other until we were 2 weeks down, maybe even a week. I think I got out of the cat, everyone, you know, Rollins and Stephanie and Triple H being more and more annoyed with just how happy Kane is. And it's how, and the funny part being he's actually good at his job.
Well, yeah, and I mean, they were already starting to sell that. They're like, oh, look at this great lineup that he has for us. You know, and they hadn't really played up his role as director in any way, but they're kind of giving him the general manager power. At least the announcers were for, you know, doing something for a
Yeah.
change.
And now what are they going to do with that coffee cup? They had it specially made and they're only using it for 2 weeks? What a gift.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I think that's the problem. If they do come back with it, like it's just too late to make it as fun as it's gonna as it should be.
No.
Because well.
They ruined. What?
Oh, okay. Yeah, they just had more life in this. Like, it was the exact opposite. And I mean, I brought this up earlier with Jeremy. It was the exact opposite of the Orton Seth Rollins thing. I mean, it was actually working with Kane coming back and being the split personality thing.
Yeah,
And
it really was. It was the highlight of the show.
they
But sorry.
stuck with that Orton. They stuck with that Orton angle way longer than they did with this one with Kane. And it's just
Yeah, they
like
did.
you had more mileage in this angle than you did the Orton one, but for some reason their fates are the opposite.
Yeah. That dragged out too long. This payoff, and maybe he shouldn't have come right back out of the ambulance limping and then just stomping his leg once and then he's fine. Maybe that would have been better if they would have held off on him coming back as a demon until next week. But even then, no. The fun is in was in Kane making Rollins life hell with a smile on his face and being really passive and being really passive aggressive about it, being really passive aggressive, not aggressive, very passive about and just downright shot Holly. That was the point of this angle. They still have had the Rollins Kane match announced a few months before they did away with Corporate Kane and the Demon Kane was back 100%, but no, that's not the way they went. It's a shame.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think of which is the next biggest. Oh, and I guess was it? I was somewhat amused that Ashley was actually the HR person for the WWE.
Yeah, that part was amusing.
And, yeah, That's I guess it's pretty good considering that she got out of school or that she only joined the company a couple of years ago.
Right. Yeah. I'm sure she's a favorite of someone. And, you know, maybe she did some acting in high school or college or something, and you know, and there was no need to bring in. Although, you know, they did. You know, Buttercup three, but. They probably, for acting purposes, they probably could have found worse indie workers.
Right. Yeah. I mean, she did what she needed to. So yeah, there are worse. There have been worse people. I can just, what was her name? Oh, Claire, Becky Lynch in TNA.
Oh, that was terrible. That was the worst. They just walked around the park until they found the Popeye show and then hired Olive Oil.
Oh, man. So yeah, I guess that I just felt like I could use some minor addressing. It just is kind of amusing for that to happen, and good for her for pulling off a pretty decent job.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we could have used at least a week or two more. It's just a shame, man. You know, the one time you want them to keep just, but the one time you want them to keep playing an angle for comedy, they decide to turn a dead season. You can't win with these people.
Yeah. And I guess
because without the comedy, it's tame. In his mask, challenging for the world title in 2015.
Knowing that he had lost a good many battles in the recent past.
Right.
It's kind of like what they're doing with Big Show at the current moment. I mean, I don't think that he's done a bad job, but he hasn't been relevant for, I would say, around 5 years. Hey.
Well, I feel I give him work for that. I thought he had some good runs. He had a run disputing with Shane Del Rio. He did. Now, granted, in the end, no one wanted to see him against Randy Orton for the title. But you know, I think he performed well. You know, when they were going to the angle where they were firing him back in 2013, back 2 years ago, I give him more credit than not being relevant for 5 years.
Okay, well then I will start the relevancy, I will revise after hearing the timeline and go for 2 years, ever since the firing part.
Yeah, and then the match with Orton, that was just a disaster, one of the worst main events they probably ever put on.
Right.
Which isn't even my memory, so, and it was pre-network, so I definitely didn't pay $54.95 for it.
Yeah.
So
my time frame's a little off. I'll admit to that, but it's been a while. So to me, it's tough to sell him as a viable opponent for Brock Lesnar, because, and if I'm not mistaken, Lesnar kind of manhandled him a couple of times in a few of the Brock Lesnar reintroductions.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, that's part of the reason they're going with Big Show. It's the impressive sight of Brock suplexing it. like he did in 2002 when they first feuded. That was incredible then, and it's still incredible. Although I really, really feel bad for, I don't think I'm saying. Alan had for him, and Big Show going to suplex City, so they're going.
Yeah, it's gonna be a rough day for everyone. Brock is still gonna have to do some lifting in that process.
That's kind of interesting. It is kind of a, you are kind of risking Brock to a degree, having, building a match around him, throwing around a 450-pound man. Over a decade old, 13 years older than they were. than they were in 2002.
Yeah, but again, I still always understand why they do it. A guy his size is, it does make it, he's just always impressive. I remember, and speaking of memory lane, when we went down to see the Royal Rumble in Atlanta, probably in that 2002 area, I can't remember exactly when, but we saw Big Show from not that far away, and that was just one of the craziest sights I had ever seen. Like, he, even from a moderate distance, and I mean, I'm going to say that we were like maybe 15, 20 feet from him. He is impressively huge. I mean, it's just hard to get over that, honestly. So I understand why the WWE does it, and they're doing what they can to sell him here for this matchup.
Yeah. It's a special attraction match on a special attraction show. I mean, they're promoting this on the main show stronger than they did the Japan show. Although, still, just like that one, only two matches actually announced on TV, and apparently the whole show is gonna. Like you in the Japan show, the whole show's gonna air for about 2.5-3 hours. But they only are promoting two matches. Obviously, this one, and then I know you don't want to hear it. I'm thinking the Dudleys are taking the tag titles for 3 weeks.
The WWE has a real habit of letting people lose in their hometown.
That is true.
So there's a possibility that the WWE will have the Dudley's job at MSG. They will. I mean, if they go with it at MSG, it's. I think it's going to be a good reaction no matter where they're at. Whenever they decide to pull the trigger, because the Dudleys are clearly popular upon their return. it just always works better to have the bad guys with the belt. At least a little bit longer. I just think that the feud has more mileage in it still. Because in some ways, they avoided each other this week.
As winning the tag team championships and then holding on to them for a long time. It would be more like they win them and then they lose them back quickly. Granted, they just did that with the primetime players, but.
There's a good possibility that happens.
Right, yeah. And I guess, like I said, I don't really have much of a problem with it. I mean, the New Day is entertaining as all hell, no matter what. No matter what the belts are with or without them. And they absolutely, of course, carried the first hour of Raw.
Yeah, well, they were involved in about the first half hour, so that was pretty easy to carry the whole hour.
Right. Yeah, so yeah, I don't think there was a single person in that building who believed there was any chance of a title change. So that hurt it a little bit, but I thought Xavier would, handle himself very well in the biggest single match of his career.
That's why that was kind of funny. I didn't say too much about the match in the Almost Live, definitely half-assed review of WWE Raw. After that match and when they went into the tag match, I kind of blew it off in some ways, but yeah, Xavier Woods was great. Like, they gave him enough openings that it didn't look like, they were trying to oversell for him. But, you know, Cena let him get the drop on him a couple of times. Whether it is, a missed maneuver on Cena's part or something else. And it made his offense believable, and it turned it in from a match that I thought was going to be a squash match to, it was still... It was the right length of time. Xavier Woods kind of held out as long as he possibly could without making this... Xavier Woods has been the weak link for New Day. Even though they haven't harped on it at all, he's not in the matches for the most... Well, I mean, he's only in the six-man matches. So, I mean, he's the low man on the totem pole, and John Cena should be handling him in some fairly short order. He did a good job with what they gave him. So, I was very happy with that match.
Yeah, I was very surprised that when it turned to the six-man that John Cena essentially just became window dressing for the New Day Dudley's feud. And even taking a hellacious fall to the floor just to get over someone else's angle. I mean, it was pretty darn unselfish of him.
John Cena can be a team player, and he certainly was in that situation. Yeah. So, good for him.
And, of course, the Dudleys did take the clean loss there, which gives more evidence to the idea that they are in fact taking the titles on Saturday.
That is true. I did not think about that. Even though it was New Day's dastardly ways that did the Dudleys in, they did in fact lose clean. There was a little bit of shenanigans going on, but they caught Devon napping, and even Devon, really, in my opinion, kind of said, "I let my guard down," like just the way his mannerisms were after the match.
He didn't play that exactly right. Yeah. He did screw up. I mean, it's not like they didn't do anything back after. They were all in the match legally, so it's not like anyone, interfered.
Oh, right, yeah. The interferees were taken care of by the other persons in the matches.
Right.
Or in the match, not that part isn't plural. Um, So yeah, there was another six-person match on the card on Raw.
These catty bitches. That's all it
Why
is.
can't they get even when they're talking about breaking up the teams, they still make the match a six-person match.
Yeah, that I don't get that at all. Once again, instead of it being about the championship, pride and honor and everything that makes Bayley versus Sasha great, it's about all this pettiness, this arguing, these girls, these women just can't get along. Ugh, it's just terrible. And they actually, I thought they may have had something after last week, but obviously they don't. They don't at all. This is just gonna keep. It's just bad. It's just gonna keep being bad.
Yeah, I don't see them getting out of it, and I don't. Even though Natalya acts like a mother hen, I'm not sure that that's what her character needs to be all the time. Like, that's. I don't know. That's not the best plan for me, in my opinion.
No, not at all. Actually, maybe with the exception of Paige, everyone is kind of almost being played to their weaknesses. Making Natty this mother hen, old hen type, even though she's not old at all. And Charlotte, oh, stop. She barely ever did promo. She did very, very interviews in the ring. They did a lot of video packages with her talking in sound bites over it. That always worked well. But, oh, her with a microphone in her hand, just reading off their scripted, her scripted a line to actually say. Oh, it's so awful. I feel bad. I feel bad.
Yeah. The pandering to the crowd seems to work from time to time. That was about the only thing that was a positive for me. But the funny thing is, though, too, is that she kind of said exactly what they should be doing, and they're not doing that. It's about. She kind of said that it's about the championship and it's about the fighting, it's not about all this other baloney. And that's what they need to establish. And for some reason, even though they're pointing it out, they don't know how to do it.
Right, yeah, it's so weird. They don't know how to do this right. These, at least PCB, well, I guess PCB's maybe now finally officially done, but it doesn't need to be NBC or whatever. However, they might want to do it now. No, this team stuff has got to stop. It these girls are all, granted, the Bellas are always going to be linked together, and Alicia Fox has nothing. Oh my God, I made the same point. I think I made the same point last week. I think I made it was the exact same word for last week. It just is the same thing. And I said, we were talking earlier, it's just like, we want to have this same conversation again.
Well, they're not helping us out at all.
No, it's the same thing every week. As I said, I think last week they had something of a reprieve on this, but they did do the big one-on-one match that was actually a fairly good match between, Charlotte and Nikki, with Charlotte getting the title clean and her and her father in tears. But, a week removed from that moment, it's back to the cattiness. Almost no one behaved, except that she's just kind of normal mode is just kind of dull.
The Becky, to me, even though she has less time, ends up being a better feature because they do at least play up her goofiness a little bit, but she's also had very direct answers most of the time when people start questioning her sanity from time to time.
She's pretty good. Everyone, Revolution. The whole concept of it, fast. These teams just need to go away. It's not a team sport. There's no Divas Tag Team Championship, let alone a Divas Six Woman Championship.
Well, and I can't believe it that you're actually supporting not the I'm not surprised you're supporting the JBL point, but I guess that's another one where I'm going, oh, JBL is actually pointing this out. Like they're pointing out their own flaws in their own product and not listening to themselves. Because,
Yeah.
I mean, you
Can't say
know,
better than that.
JBL has been talking, and I mean, it's not like it's been just like a this week kind of a point. JBL's been selling the PCB Team Unity as just a bunch of BS from, you know, pretty much the jump of these teams. And he was proven right. In short order, really, like a couple of months in.
Yeah, he's been the voice of reason in this whole thing. It's just so weird that presentation of this, where they don't do it. They don't make this, I guess I haven't completely given up hope, but it wanes more and more every week.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not going to blame them for the most part. I mean, I'm sure they're selling something better than this to the writing staff, or at least I hope so. Yeah, there's that angle, and I'm trying to think of some of the other, because even a lot of the other big angles, I think they just rushed through this week. Not that I really want to see more Ziggler and Rusev, but if you're going to go with it, I guess they need a little bit more than what they were given
Yeah,
this week.
they did not. I think it was Summer Rae this week. That seems for 1 week it's a drop. I don't know what the point of Owens versus Rusev was. Okay, that was just a kind of a that was a mess. That was a mess.
It's just strange. You know, they have 3 hours, and for some reason they can't figure out a lot of times how to fill that 3 hours. Because like we said, SmackDown is pretty much you can buzz through or not even watch. So I mean, they put together 3 relevant hours of TV because, and I mean, SmackDown is a lot of replay of Raw. Like that thing's maybe $1.15, if you go actual new live segments on SmackDown.
Raw, though, I mean, like that Strowman and Harper tag match with the primetime players, and then Neville versus Stardust for the 1,000th time back to back. Oh, I can't even imagine. I guess the ratings are already out. I can't imagine how many homes switch to Monday Night Football during the night between 9:30 and 10 o'clock.
There was not a whole lot of reason to watch this week. So it's just tough to, it's a tough one to get into.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, shows like last night, I don't even think it was as bad as a lot of people thought. But then again, I skipped through it and watched what I thought was the good part. What I advise almost everyone to do.
Well, I mean, that was part of the reason why I started the review the way I did. I mean, part of me, especially when they went to the three-hour format, I just really hate watching commercials. And, why am I brain cramping this much about not watching commercials? Oh, so that's why I started skipping through stuff. And they do so much time where right before a commercial break or right after a commercial break, they air a lot of their vignettes and a lot of their replay stuff. So it's easy to blow through a lot of that stuff, too, when you're fast-forwarding through.
Right, yeah. It absolutely is. I was a badass and actually fast-forwarded through actual segments on the show, but I didn't miss anything. I skipped bad matches and promos I knew were going to be bad. It's only about an hour and a half of actual quality content here from week to week.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty sad that's all that they can churn out at the time. And I'm trying to think, I guess if, we're that bored with Raw, we got two options. Find another topic. You did have, when do you start getting ROH?
I got it this past weekend, so I can rap with you about this week's episode if you watched it.
Oh, no, I have not watched it. Normally I am watching it as we're doing the show, but as pointed out, I am watching a hockey game instead. A very early preseason game that means a whole lot of nothing, even though I'm glad the Penguins are winning 4-2. Hold on, what the hell were we just talking about? Why I lost my train of thought after going with trying to tie everything together. ROH. I haven't watched it this week, so I can't really say. I don't always get to it, or I don't usually get to it until this time. It's not really a priority. I probably enjoy it for what it is. I mean, it also has its own parts that I just buzz through sometimes and don't even bother.
Right.
Because anytime the woman from ROH Central or wherever she is, I always buzz through her segments if she's on that week. There are a lot of backstage promos that I'll just blow through because most of those guys are not really particularly good talkers.
Right. And this summer, they have really, 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 really just... I feel like they've weaned down the New Japan guys as a crutch just way too much this summer. There's really very little... Well, they're in a weird holding pattern right now where tapings from after the last pay-per-view haven't even started airing yet, so they just kind of had, like, these two, you know, I guess they're kind of lame duck shows that have no real storylines going on. Just, you know, basically excuses to just have the New Japan guys in good matches.
Oh, I feel like they kind of do that on the regular, just in general with their programming, where, especially when the New Japan guys come over, they kind of toss out everything that was going on, and, well, maybe not everything, because I'm trying to think of who had that six-man match. It was last week's episode. But there was two Japanese guys on one side and just one on the other.
Right.
Oh, maybe it was Red Dragon against...
it was the Briscoes.
Oh.
Goto versus Okada and...
Oh, is this not the time splitters. I think it's Trent Beretta.
Trent Beretta and Rocky Romero?
Yeah.
Perfectly good match, but once again, it had no stakes. It was just a match for the sake of having a match. I think that next year they have said that they're going to do storylines, possibly even have them around even more often. So I guess that will be good because they are essentially the best wrestlers in the world at this point. The top guys in Japan are pretty much the best wrestlers in the world at this point. So they're a benefit to any show that they're on. But it just, you know, to a point you need to start being able to integrate them in the storylines that they're going here.
I knew that they had signed a new deal with New Japan. I guess I did not pay attention to it, but if that's the case, that's good on them, because it does, as we've already stated numerous times, that it just breaks up the flow of the shows. So it'd be nice for that not to happen. And
I know you haven't watched this. Go ahead.
Oh. And I'm trying to think of what else there was to add to that, because there really wasn't that much. And
I know you haven't watched this week's show yet, but I will kind of say this. Moose is way too valuable of a prospect to put him in a four-way match that he doesn't.
In what style match?
In a four-way match with three other guys that he doesn't win. I didn't get that at all. I know you haven't watched it yet, but I hated that. I hated that match. I hated everything about it.
Well, he probably wasn't involved. They're thinking it's probably he wasn't involved in the fall, so it's okay.
Right.
But I don't know. They haven't done the best job handling him, I don't think.
No, not at all. And
he is a freakishly good athlete. He still is fairly green.
Yeah, he needs to be protected better than he's been. Absolutely. There's a way to bring him along. I know they didn't want him in title matches right away, but there's a better way to bring him along than what they're doing. And having him do jobs, you know, guys in the mid card, but, you know, throwing him in kind of, you know, these pointless, you know, four-way matches they do just for the hell of it, and you risk defining him down too much.
Yeah, I do. I've got to admit, I did like, at least somewhat, I like Cedric Alexander a lot, and I know this is kind of a, you know, feud previous, but so you wouldn't have really seen it, but Alexander is a really good wrestler, but they've kind of dropped the ball on his development too, to be completely honest with you. He seemed like he was having a breakthrough match, and then they decided not to go through with it for whatever reason. And right. I just think that his character in general hasn't bounced back from it at all. And that's too bad. He's another one that I enjoy his work, so I don't quite understand why you do that.
Right, yeah. I agree.
So yeah, I mean, I will maybe try to make a little more of a point of getting to Raw in the ROH in the future. It just all depends. That's the other funny thing is that that can tape anywhere from Friday Saturday afternoon to Monday morning at like 1 a.m. So sometimes I have multiple episodes taped. Sometimes I just have one for a weekend. It's a real roulette of ROH for yours truly. And I could tape it on another station. Like I think I tape it on Fox, but Fox and ABC are owned by the same people in town. So they air all the same. They're both on the Sinclair network. So they both air ROH. So I get a whole lot of ROH content, quote unquote.
They're on a.
And then they're on Destination America, which I don't tape since I already tape it. So yeah, I'll try to get to things maybe a little more with a little more frequency so that there's something else to at least add on to. And there's always the add on to that can be the Sippy Time beer of the week, which is Boulder Beer's Emergent White IPA. I really dig white IPAs. I might have to try and brew one. It sounds like a plan, honestly. So I'll have to at least get some type of a recipe and go from there. But this one is very tasty. I'm not quite sure it's as good as Big Star from Four String right here in Columbus. But it's pretty good. Have you had any good beer choices as of late?
I guess I nothing really too special. I had my share of a pitcher of Oktoberfest the other night. That's pretty much it. Haven't done anything too wild.
Hey, you're in season. There's nothing wrong with having an Oktoberfest during Oktoberfest. I mean,
No, there's it went. I enjoyed it immensely.
Yeah, I enjoy myself in an Oktoberfest beer. It's a more malty one, which really is a little bit more along my taste bud range than the IPA route, really. This is more an acquired taste. That is more of a native taste for me. So, yeah, I mean, we may as well just wrap things up. I mean, no reason stretching this out any longer since I, you know, did not, in fact, watch it. But we can warn people. Might have more content. So, for at DeFrango11, at Chris Calamita, the at Stunt Granny brand, have a good evening.